The most watched match, most anticipated to watch matchup of the upcoming weekend will be not, you know, you think it's going to be two teams, right? UConn and Alabama. Think it's going to be NC State and Purdue. No, the most anticipated watched matchup of the upcoming weekend is an individual matchup mixed within one of those games. It's DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. Part of it is because of the pure visuals of it. There aren't many people walking around that are 6'9", the size, the weight, the strength of DJ Burns, and there are even less walking around that are 7'4", the size, the strength of Zach Edey. And how those two teams decide to guard each other could easily be the thing that decides who advances to the national championship and who had a solid run to the Final Four. We've had some media availability, some locker rooms being open today, so we had a chance to talk to the teams. We mentioned that our very own Dennis Cox is out there covering the action. He grabbed some audio for us. Here's DJ Burns on what's being discussed about guarding Zach Edey.
Oh, you know, we're just scouting him up the way we would anybody. You know, he's a tall guy, and that's a good advantage. But, you know, we're not treating him any differently.
I hope that's coach speak.
Fair enough.
I hope it's coach.
Okay, DJ.
You're not treating him any differently. He's 7'4", and he's averaging like 30 points a game in the tournament and 15 rebounds. I mean, I'm all for not, you know, putting anyone on a pedestal, but, you know, not turning them into a superhero or a comic book villain. But at the same time, you better have something cooked up for him.
I mean, look, NC State's going to have their game plan for Zach Edey, but I kind of see where DJ Burns is coming from as far as, look, it is what it is. It's kind of like how other teams probably look at DJ Burns. Like, until you go out there and face him, that's really all you can do as far as preparation.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that one. I look at it like other teams playing DJ Burns, they better know if they're sending a double. They better know if when they're backup center in, if he's actually trying to defend or if his nickname is five fouls for the day. Like, you have to know how to attack these guys because they're different. And if you go in saying, oh, you know, we're going to do the same thing against Zach Edey that we did against Quentin Post from Boston College because he's another 7-footer, you're going to end up getting put on a poster. Like, there's a reason why Zach Edey is who he is. There's a reason why player of the year. There's a reason why he's put up the stats he's put up. And you have to prioritize either stopping him or maybe you go full, you know, every once in a while you see someone do this where you're like, hey, Zach Edey, get your 35 and 18. We're going to stop everybody else. There's two ways to go about it, but you better have a plan. Don't just treat him like every other run-of-the-mill 7-footer. DJ Burns was also asked, how do you simulate guarding Zach Edey when they are practicing?
I mean, you can't really simulate height, but you can shoot some hook shots and, you know, make some good moves.
How do you think they simulate you in practice?
I have no idea. I hope it's a double team.
This first of all, I love that he said, I hope. I should explain what happened there. So the first question was, that he started with his answer, was how do you simulate Zach Edey? And he said, you can't really simulate height. Right, the way to do that, and we've seen it in the past with other like legendarily tall shot blockers. You get the broomstick out, right? And you have an assistant coach swatting with a 6-foot broomstick trying to simulate it. You can do that. And then the reporter asked, "Well, how do you think they simulate you?" And DJ Burns' response was, "I don't know. I hope they do it with the double team." I love that he wants to be double teamed. I love that. Absolutely, because then he can pass out of it. He's a great passer. He can find the open shooter. The funny part is everybody is going to talk about the height. That's how he answered the Zach Edey question, right? You can't really simulate height. Can DJ Burns work his magic against a 7'4 player? Can he get his hook shot off against a 7'4 player of the year? Can he? I don't think that's the question. The question I have is all about weight. Because the thing about Zach Edey is he's not Manute Bol out there, right? He's not Sean Bradley out there. He's not Chet Holmgren out there. He's not even the current version of Victor Wembanyama when you look at body type. What he is a stronger, thicker, heavier guy. I just tried to name every super-duper tall, skinny guy that I could think of. DJ Burns' post moves, if you watch them, they are darn near unstoppable. At least they have been over the last 9 games. But they have a lot to do with him leaning on you, right? He catches it on the post. He turns around and he's backing down and he's putting his significant strength and weight on you. So then you have a couple options, right? You can brace yourself and make a wide base. Like think about when you're pushing like a car that doesn't have gas in it, right? You get low to the ground, you spread your legs, and you drive. You can do that to prevent him from pushing you down, or you can just get buried under the bucket by him backing you down. And then once you are braced, like you're pushing that car, all of that weight on you, he can spin, your balance is off because the thing you are leaning against moves like you're pushing on a door that opens. So that's where he gets his magic from, right? And as soon as he sees you preparing for all that weight to be put on you, he already knows he has you, right? Because now he's in control of the situation. DJ Burns has worked against guys taller than him all year. He doesn't get someone that's as heavy as him that often. And I know he's listed at 275. I think he's somewhere he's over 3 bills. We'll call it that. So is Zach Edey. Zach Edey's listed at 300. Can he work his magic against somebody that might not have to get us out of a normal traditional guarding position to fight back? That's what I think it's about. It could, you know, obviously 7-4 matters, don't get me wrong. And obviously his hook shot's going to have a little bit more arc on it, don't get me wrong. But the dude has prodigious touch. It strikes me as like his hook shot goes 1 inch higher than the hand of whoever's trying to block his shot. Like he has that touch. He has that depth perception. He has that feel. The thing we don't know is, does he have the ability to make that work against somebody that is his it's not even density. It's like, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this.
The irresistible force meets the unmovable object for my wrestling fans out there.
WrestleMania similar.
Coming up this weekend.
What we've learned this year is if DJ Burns is the unstoppable force, he's gone up against immovable objects and he's gotten them off balance and moved them.
Yeah, he's faced Baycott, Filipowski, and ACC play.
What I haven't seen yet is if he's the unstoppable force up against another unstoppable force. That's to me what we're getting to, right? Because Baycott got skinny this year, right? Yeah. PJ Hall is a strong guy, big shoulders, not that kind of mass. Filipowski, same way, 7 foot tall, not that kind of mass. He's 238, 240, 245, whatever he ends up being. Zach Edey and DJ Burns are in the same weight class. Again, for wrestling fans, different kind of wrestling. They're in the same weight class. That's what I think it's all going to come down to. I want to talk about the quote-unquote other stars, right? Because this was not a season when DJ Burns was always the best player on the floor. There were others that took that mantle at times. And I'm looking at two names. Other than DJ Burns, DJ Horn and Mo Diarra, I believe, are the two most likely players for state to be like the Final Four most outstanding player, right?
Yep.
The mop. They're pretty darn good. And sometimes their role is to make sure they are good enough to keep the defense honest when guarding DJ Burns. And sometimes their role is to create on their own in different ways. Sometimes DJ Horn has to be like a 1997 shooting guard and get up volume shots and make enough of them to be an effective scorer.
Hand in the face, doesn't matter, pull up from long range.
Yeah, sometimes it's like Stephon Marbury style where you're just like, hey, Go be a Coney Island point guard, even though he's from Cary, which is fun.
Go be a town of Cary point guard.
There you go. Maybe mix the two. Cary Island point guard.
Yeah.
Coney Island and Cary. Two areas that have a lot in common. It's fun to see that. And then Mo Diarra on the other side is the player that I think is the most easily pointed to and say – his individual development had the most to do with NC State leveling up, right? DJ Burns, we saw last year, DJ Burns can get it done when you know, he's cooking offensively. We saw all year DJ Horn was going to be leaned upon as a scorer. Mo Diarra is the player that has expanded his role, his skill set. I don't know if he just learned how to do some of this. I don't know if he just revealed to the coaching staff that he was able to do some of this. I don't know if the coaching staff just finally decided that they trust him to do some of this. But about a month and a half, 2 months ago, right? Like in this calendar year, Mo Diarra suddenly started like raising his hand and going, I can do that.
Yeah. Give me the ball.
Like it's when I'm trying to think of a good example, a good analogy. Say you in
a movie.
No, we're not going with a movie.
Come on.
Real life situation. It's like you're living with four buddies in college,
All right?
Off campus. Super excited, right? In a house. You're not in the dorms anymore. And like the sink doesn't work. And you're like, oh, no, are we going to have to call the landlord? Was this something we did? Like, are we going to get in trouble? I don't have a bunch of cash. And then one of them raises his hand. He's like, oh, no, I can fix it. Now, my dad and grandpa are plumbers. I've been apprenticing as a plumber my entire life. And you're like, we lived in the dorms for 2 years together. You watched me struggle with that toilet for like 2 days. And now where did that come from? I'm looking at Mo Diarra going like, you're telling me you're a three-point shooter this whole time? Beginning of the year, Casey Morsell started in a shooting slump. Casey Morsell last year was a over 40% three-point shooter, really helped the team with his spacing. This year, early on, he was like a sub-30% three-point shooter as he worked his way through a slump. Diarra didn't shoot.
Coincidentally enough, that's how I felt watching Mo Diarra in that Florida State game towards the end of the season.
Just going like, wait, what? You're telling me you know how to plumb? You're telling me you can fix pipes? You're telling me you can shoot? And we didn't know? When a team struggles so aggressively, like they did in the regular season, and then unlock something in the postseason, you're looking for who is different. Part of it is Mo Diarra is just playing better. Part of it is Mo Diarra is doing something he wasn't doing. Right? It's not just, hey, he's rebounding better. No, he's always been a good rebounder. It's not, oh, he's a good defender. No, he's always been a good defender. The shooting, where did it come from? He opened up the possibility of so much more. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. The shooting allows you to play both Mo Diarra and DJ Burns at the same time. There were games where Ben Middlebrooks played 12 minutes, Mo Diarra played 15 minutes, and DJ Burns played the rest, but they really didn't overlap much. Now, if DJ Burns plays 40 minutes, Mo Diarra played 38, and it's like, all right, they're right there on top of each other.
Well, it's like Kevin Keats said when he jokingly spoke with Adam Gold after they won the ACC tournament. Mo Diarra has always been a big man that thinks he's a guard. As far as being in the lane, they can step out and knock down a three-point shot. But credit to Mo Diarra, just in this NCAA tournament, Gary Hahn in the newest episode of Pack Therapy, which is out now, even talked about towards the later part of the season, Mo Diarra was playing good. But now in this NCAA tournament, he's playing great, and he has the confidence from his coaches to step out and knock down three-point shots.
And not let the rest of his game suffer.
Yeah.
Right, he's still rebounding like a menace when he's on the floor. Early in the year, he was playing 12 minutes a night, but on a per-minute basis, he was one of the best rebounders in the entire country. Now he's shooting more, he's playing more, he's dribbling more, like he's doing more of everything else, but he's still that rebounder. He's still that defender. It's a massive part of the improvement by NC State. Here's Mo Diarra earlier today during their media availability on how to explain how he's been playing recently.
Man, I was like, I gotta play. Like, I got no excuse. Like, that's my region is not an excuse for me. I chose to do that. Nobody say, Mo, you gotta do this. It's just by myself. And I think God gave me the chance to ride at this moment. And I play well. I have my team, and the confidence is 100% now.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you attribute it to, just keep it up, right? It's one of those things where it's like, don't touch anything. It's working. I've had headphones like that where, like, one side of the headphones works and the other doesn't. And when you get that moment where both headphones are working, you're like, nobody move. Don't touch it. I'm kind of like Mo Diarra with that right now. I'm like, whatever's happening, don't bump into it. We got both speakers working right now.
Coincidentally enough, when I was with some of my buddies watching NC State's game against, who was it? They're all running together now.
If you describe the game, I know him pretty well.
Not Duke, not Oakland. Who was it in between in the Sweet 16?
Marquette.
When Mo Diarra actually was in the period where he could have liquids and mm-hmm. eat after Ramadan.
Right at like 7:14 or whatever time they're able to eat.
During that last media timeout, some buddies were like, all right, Mo Diarra, go get some drinks. You know, go get some food. And the other half of the room was like, no, he's playing so good. Just let him keep going.
Like, he's literally hungry, and he's playing hungry right now. No. What he's doing with that element of it is unbelievable. And that's kind of to the side of everything that's going on with basketball, because it's, you know, a life decision and a religious decision and those things. But to play with as much energy as he does, knowing that he you know, can't rehydrate and can't get some food in his belly during daylight hours is unbelievable. And then let's ramp up even further. Then there's DJ Horn. And DJ Horn, to me, is an emotional leader of this team. He's from the area, as we mentioned. He understands the history of it. He references the 919, the area code of the area. He's very much entrenched in, like, I'm doing this for a purpose that is not just I want to be a good basketball player. He's doing this for something bigger than himself, which is why I think it's cool that we have some audio here on what stood out from him, because the NC State team this year was able to talk with the 1983 team, the last the Cardiac Pack, Jimmy Valvano's team, the last NC State team to win a national championship. Here's DJ Horn on what stood out to him.
I would just say just the fact that, you know, seeing them kind of old in their age now, the fact that they still interact with each other the way they do, you know, they say they can pick up the phone whenever. I think that really stood out to me, and that's why you play the basketball. It's not about right now. It's about later on in life, building those connections and everything.
I do always think that's kind of funny, because anyone that's ever played college sports gets the talk from the former great. I remember I played at the University of Delaware, played football, and Rich Gannon came back, and he played at Delaware, and he gave us the same speech, right? You know, some of the kids I met right here on this campus are my best friends to this day, and I went on to an NFL, all this, MVP, but, you know, in my wedding was one of my college teammates. And you look around to, like, all your knucklehead friends, and you're like, really? this is who we're going to be, this, like... Dennis Cox, our producer on this show traditionally, is out at the Final Four covering, and I saw he posted a video of like five NC State players doing a TikTok dance in the locker room during media availability. And I'm thinking of DJ Horn getting like an emotional speech from the 83 team, saying like, I still pick up the phone when I need some advice and call my buddy, call my teammate, call my brother, and they pick up right away and they're there when I need them. And then he's like, oh, that's cool. Then they walk into media availability, and they're like,
I'm 2 days into college.
5, 6, 7, 8. And it's like, great. This is who's going to be helping me make decisions in 40 years from now.
They need to quit that, right? The TikToks did not work for Duke when they were making them during the NCAA tournament. I'm just saying.
I don't think the TikToks,
TikTok might be cursed.
I don't think the TikToks are the reason why it didn't work for Duke.
I don't know. I'm saying TikTok's cursed.
I'm not taking that. No, actually, NC State can't say it was the TikTok, because that takes away from them beating. Then it's like, oh, we didn't really beat them. The TikToks did. You have to say, we beat Duke at full strength. That had nothing to do with any of their attention. But going back to DJ Horn. This is going to sound ridiculous, okay? This is going to sound crazy. DJ Horn saved their regular season.
Yep.
They were the 10th seed in the ACC championship. I don't even want to think of what that seed would be if DJ Horn wasn't a Spartan warrior at times, going out and putting the team on his back to win games. They'd be the 14th seed. They'd be Louisville, right? They'd have been the 13th seed. They would have had even less momentum. Maybe who knows how that would have affected the team. DJ Horn saved the season for NC State just to keep it like hanging on by a thread enough to be saved by everybody else. He's the perimeter answer to DJ Burns. He is a tough shot maker who has leveled up his game this year. Last 2 years at Arizona State, he averaged 12.5 points per game. This year, His first and only season back home in the Triangle, 16.8 points per game. Right? The DJ Burns hype is awesome. Guess who was their only all-ACC performer? It was DJ Horn. Right? He was a third teamer. He was the guy that carried them for a large part of the year and kept the confidence just high enough to go on the run. And if Zach Edey has some success guarding DJ Burns, which is possible, I'm looking to DJ Horn to be the tough shot maker to get them through that if they're going to get through that. He's next up on the call sheet. Those two guys have a chance to really, really make their mark on a Final Four run.